Good morning, folks. It has been a week. If you ever taken time to start studying in your word and you run across something that just doesn't make sense, I know I've read it before and I know I've seen it before, but I read it again and it just don't make sense. It couldn't be. There's a little passage I found in the book of James, and the first few words of it have me so confused. It says, Elijah was a man just like us. And then it goes on and tells about a little story there. But Elijah was a man just like us. And that confused me. Because, see, when I look at Elijah is this Old Testament prophet that God spoke directly with. That the power of God came through. And so surely there was something special or something unique about him that makes him different from us. And so I had to read it more and more and pray about it more and more. And I struggled with it. It just doesn't make sense to me because he is a prophet of God. But he is a man just like us. Let's take a moment. Let's go to God in prayer. God and Father, I come for you this morning as we take this one little passage here and we begin to look at it. We ask that you provide us clarity. We ask, Lord, that you will show us the truth that it contains. Open our minds, open our hearts. We love you, Lord. In thy name we pray. Amen. But have you ever thought about that? Elijah was a man just like us. Have you ever looked in your scriptures, the Old Testament and 1 Kings, and you read about some of the stories of Elijah? I mean, there's this one where it's so cool. He is on the mountaintop. See, he was challenged. He made this challenge to the prophets of Baal. Baal were a group of prophets that did not worship the one and only true God. Elijah was a prophet of God who worshiped the one and only true God. And so he said, let's have a test. Let's gather on the mountain, all 450 of you, and you prepare a bull. And then you cry out to your God and see if it can be destroyed by fire. Me by myself, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to prepare my bull. And then I would also cry out to my God and have my God destroyed by fire. You guys go first. I think, well, that's pretty amazing. That's a cool story. And so that's what happens. They meet out there one day and these 450 guys, they're working, they're screaming, they're crying, they're yelling, they're taking knives, they're cutting their chests, and they're screaming out all day long, and nothing happens. Elijah, on the other, he's over here going, okay, boys, come on, maybe you need to wake your God up. And he's screaming, and he's hollering back at him, he's taunting them. And I'm going, hold it, that is kind of like me. Maybe there's more to this passage than I ever thought. I mean, start looking at it through that passage in James and go, I could see myself doing that. And then the prophets of Baal got smart. They go, okay, Elijah, we've been at this all day long. Nothing's happened. We're going for a tie. I mean, that's kind of what they're hoping for, aren't they? So Elijah in chapter 19, let me just share his little prayer. Oh, by the way, Elijah was feeling really, really confident. He goes, okay, guys, I need you to get those buckets and pour water over the wood, over the bull, over the rocks. Not once, but three times. And he prays to God. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are the God of Israel, that I am your servant and have done all these things that you have commanded me. Answer me, O Lord, answer me so these people will know that you are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Boom, it happens. Big old flash from heaven, fire comes down, consumes the bull, consumes the wood, consumes the stones and the water. I'm talking Elijah is sitting on top of the world. Life is good. I mean, couldn't you see the confidence they had? I mean, I can see the swagger as he walks. His chest is all puffed out and goes, "Told you so. Told you it happened." And then he gives the order for all the prophets of Baal and their family to be put to death. And it happens. You've probably had those moments in life where everything was just perfect. Wonderful. I mean, you're on top of the world and you're just enjoying that. Have you had those moments? I mean, for some of you, it may have been as simple as when you got a job and it was a job that you had dreamed for, or the announcement that you're going to have a child, or it may be the day you stood at the wedding altar, or it could be the simple things that you just know that you're in the presence of God and that everything is wonderful. See, what's funny is when you read the next couple verses. Ahab, who was there, he saw everything what happened. He went home. He told his wife, "Hey, Jezebel, do you know what just took place? That Elisha, that prophet, he called his God and boom, fire came down from heaven. We had to put all the prophets of Baal to death. Oh, by the way, those were the ones you worshiped, right, honey?" And she cries out, "The same will happen to him before morning." So Elijah, he's up on this mountain. He just watched fire from heaven come down. And what does he do with his puffed out chest? Does he stand there and say, "Bring it on"? No, he turns and runs out into the wilderness, scared to death because this woman was coming after him. It's going to take his life. If you read the scripture, it says he goes and he's hiding in the wilderness, and an angel comes up to him and goes, "Here, you need to eat because you didn't run far enough yet." And a second angel comes up. "Here, you have a long journey ahead of you, boy. Eat some more because you need it." And he runs again and he hides in a cave. And he is there. His knees are knocking in the darkness of this cave because a woman said, "You will perish. Your life will be taken from you." This is all in a matter of an instant, a day. From standing up on the mountaintop, being in the very presence of God, seeing the power of God act, to total fear and devastation and hiding from God. You've probably experienced that a little bit. Well, this past week has been tough. As I said, there's some things. Many of you may have got some emails from me. I want to share with you a little bit of a story, a few pictures. See, in February of this past year, there's a group of men that went down to Haiti. When we were in Haiti, Solonique, the missionary there, many of you met him, he was our missionary for VBS a year ago, took us out to this property. And he said, "This property is 4 acres that God has blessed them with. And that they're going to put a new worship center there, a new sanctuary to worship God. And it's going to be the largest building in the community. And they invite all the community to come be a part of it." And he continued to walk us around and show us, you see the next slide. And he explained, there's Kim Boatwright, Terry West, Al Burke. And he says, "This will be the center of activity." And he walked us all around, and he was so excited. He said, "But there's a problem. In Haiti, if you don't put a wall around your property, others will come and settle on it and take it over as theirs. So we have to build a wall around this whole 4 acres. He said, "Would you guys pray about it? Will you pray with me?" And so we gathered together, and we prayed with Solonique. This group of men, they were fervent in their prayer. And while we're there praying, there's another man walking around, a witch doctor, casting spells, trying to see that this property would not be used of God. So after we prayed, they began to build the wall in the 1st of July. And you can see in the back here, you see there that back wall is already built all the way down. That's their property. And then all the way down this side, this is the front corner, and there's the trees where we gathered and we prayed. And that was the first part of June. And then they went ahead and they were able to finish the wall in the middle to the end of June. They put up great big steel gates and they were thrilled. Then they went ahead and they dedicated their property. after church on Sunday, all the people went over there and they had a worship service out on the property. And they praised God for what has been done. They praised God for the walls being completed. And now they have a place where they will be able to build a new sanctuary, where they will be able to worship God. That happened in July. Last week, hurricane came. This is standing in the school property. This is standing on the second floor of the building. See this building over here to the top left? That's the building we're supposed to wire for electricity in January of 09. We already have a team set to go. Right straight next, there's a building. You could barely see it. That wasn't there. We started helping build that building, laying concrete blocks for the new cafeteria right there by that white tarp. Then just beyond that, you can see the yellow peak of a roof barely. That's where they're currently worshiping. The water has been higher than it ever has been. When the water receded and they looked back at the wall they had just built and worshiped and dedicated, it's gone. Last night I received an email from Sullen Eek. I'll share just a few of the lines from it. We praise God, the Creator, He who made everything, for giving you as brothers and sisters. We thank Him for your concerns and your fervent prayer for us. We thank you for your love and your kindness. We thank Him because of who He is, a loving, a merciful, a caring, and a just God. It is in His name of the most powerful God that I greet you all. Last Sunday, we gathered with the people to worship God with all of our hearts, raising our hands, praising Him. Hundreds, even thousands, were praising God around the city. We will not have that privilege again to have corporate worship for many months. It will take at least weeks until we could get things cleaned up. In situations like this, humans acknowledge who is in charge, who is in control, and if not, they realize at least how fragile life is. Water's getting rare. I, Sullen Eek, spent literally 3 hours moving up and down, taking long lines before I could come home with 1 gallon of water. I'm among the lucky ones because others returned home with empty jugs or buckets. I have to confess, I got mine because I have a friend who is distributing water. Then he goes on to speak about how difficult it was to walk back home because he had a gallon of water and he has 5 children and a wife. 6? I forgot about the youngest. 6 children that they're going to share the gallon of water with. And he had to pass by people who had none. He goes on to say that all my children are sick. Without a doubt, it's because, oh no, let me go one line earlier. Goyanese smells bad these days. Dead bodies of animals and humans. The terrible smell of the mud and polluted water and the like. All my children are sick. We do not doubt that this has come because of the polluted air that the children are breathing. Then he goes through and he lists each child by name, talking about what is going on and the difficulty they're having. Gene's fighting a fever. Selenique himself has a sinus infection. The fear is that typhoid, malaria, and other diseases will be in their community in the next few days and will claim many more lives than what the water did. Please pray that there is water, food, clothes, really safe shelter, medicine, antibiotics, and vitamins, safe and secure shelters, cleaning equipment such as shovels and hammers. It's going to be difficult to reconstruct after the hurricane. Continued, he says, and they've been warned about the upcoming hurricane named Ike. Pray that it misses us. I was just told this morning that as Ike passed, they received 14 to 17 inches of rain over the night. This morning at 9 o'clock, the leadership team, we will meet and we will pray for the church and the people. Thank you for your contributions and your written notes of encouragement. And he says there's more information online at their website. Folks, I stood on that ground and I saw the joy in their face. And I watched them climb the mountain and I watched them sit there. As the walls were built, I watched them celebrate. And my heart celebrated with them. And now they are in the valleys. Devastation has hit. And amongst us, there's a group of guys that were there last year. I've asked them if they will make their way up front because we want to have a time of prayer for them. So Alan and Terry and Ken back there, and the other, if there's any of the other guys that traveled too going these with us, please come on up here. These men stood on that same property with me. Actually, I think some of these men were the ones that prayed aloud. I've asked Ken Kroll if he would lead us in this time of prayer. By the way, these same group of guys, amongst some others out there, will be going back down in January. We don't know what our task will be, but it will be great. I know that. Ken, would you please lead us?
Our Father, we thank you so much for the chance to gather today. We praise you as the creator of all earth. We praise you as the sustainer of life, the one who gives us first breath and carries us through our lives. We ask that you would be merciful to the people in Haiti. They've suffered so much. They love you so much. We ask that you would protect them from disease, that they would find food and water, clothing, everything that they need. You know that they're suffering. You know that they love you. We ask that you would be with them and help to guide them through this very difficult time and help them not to lose faith in you, but to strengthen it and to love you more, even through the hardships. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You could talk to any one of these guys up here. They will share the stories of what they encountered while they're there. They tell you about the smiles on the children's faces, the hugs that they received, the love that these people had when they have nothing else. They'll tell you the stories. They tell you about the people. The church may have lost a few folks in the flood. The fear is that they will lose more with the disease that's going to come. That's a valley, folks. That's a valley. I have to admire Salonique and his faith and his love to God. His ability to stay focused in amongst all the difficulty. He's an honorable man. I have faith that that wall will be rebuilt. And a sanctuary will happen. That God will be honored. That there will be more come to Jesus because of the efforts. But it's in a tough spot today. But we know that God is always, always with us, even in those difficult times. On Thursday, I happened to be over at the orthodontist with my son, and Jen Kramer works there. And her, I were talking. She's like, yeah, Dusty's on vacation. He's in Florida. And we kind of joked about the hurricanes coming. And all that. Then she said, what are you preaching on? I said, well, mountains and valleys of life. And she goes, oh, that's true. I said, what? She says, well, Larry and I, after Rosalie was born, we thought life was perfect. And then Larry's dad died. She says, now, every time we think something's going perfect, we start checking to see what's getting ready to go wrong. How do we deal with this? How do we get through life when we have the expectation of what, who God is and how things are perfect, and that we know that things are not always going to be that way, when the tough times are going to come, when the storms of life are going to hit us, when you walk into your job and they hand you a little pink piece of paper and say, go on home, we don't need you anymore. Or when you look at a child's report card and see an A and you're celebrating that as you're answering the phone and it's a principal calling you. Have you ever had that happen? Life is full of peaks and valleys. But we need to remember just a few simple principles. The first simple principle is in His presence. His presence is always watching over me. Out of the book of Isaiah, it says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's God reaching down, saying, when you're down in the valleys, I'm there with you. I will watch over you, and I will reach down, and I will comfort you, and I will carry you through that time. I am with you. I will watch over you. Or the psalmist writes, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. We don't have to do this alone. We have to remain in the presence of God despite the difficulties. Now what happens though, let's go back to the book of Kings. Elijah's sitting here. He's in this little cave and his knees are knocking and he's terrified. And then, this is wonderful. It says, a word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? Get it? God speaking to him. Elijah, what are you doing here hiding in the cave? He replied, well, I was very zealous for you, old God. And, you know, well, that lady is trying to kill me. He's speaking to God, saying, I've done all these things for you, but somebody's after me, God, and I'm scared. See, when we're scared, we want God to act. We want God to act in a mighty and a powerful way, don't we? God, heal it. Let me see it happen. Raise that body from the dead. Yeah. God. And when it doesn't do it the way we think it should be done, we get confused. See, when Elijah's in that cave that says, this great wind came and tumbled the rocks over, God was not in the wind. Then it says, there was a great fire that burned. And it says, God wasn't there. Then it talks about this powerful and mighty earthquake that came and it rocked the cave. And it says, God wasn't there. Then it said, in the very quiet whisper, God was there. See, we want these great miracles. We want God to be huge, and we want Him to take care of it with a snap of a finger and everything to be better. Instead, He says, I'm watching over you. I'm here. You don't have to do this alone. And then He starts working with us to understand what's going on. He says, His purpose is working in me. This is the part I don't like. Because even though God's working in me and His purpose is working in me, here's what Scripture says. In all things, let me go back. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Everything's going to work out good, but maybe not in our time frame. Maybe not even in our understanding, but God's purpose is working through us. See, God's purpose may be that more come to Christ when down in Goyanese they see the walls get rebuilt, they see the walls go up, that God is honored in it. When they see the devastation amongst the people and there are still those that are worshiping and honoring God amongst all the death and devastation, God could be honored. Being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Even though we don't understand it, God's working through us to complete the good work. And it's not about us. It's about the good work, about the purpose of seeking and saving the lost that he's about. I can't fathom really what's happening in Haiti with some dear friends. I'll tell you another story. Mika. He's going to be here, though, in a few weeks, we hope, if he could get out of Goyanese. The schedule that he'll be here, I think, on the 28th of this month. Not the 28th, it'll be 25th, I think, Sunday, whatever. In that time frame of the 20-somethings. Mika is the administrator of the Living Water down there. He does kind of what I do up here, but he does it down there with a lot less at times, let me tell you. He is a phenomenal guy. He and I had opportunity to spend much time together while I was there. I went to his house and met with his family and sat there and we talked about the direction of the ministry and all that. He shared an email to me that when the floods were coming, he had to grab his three children and get them to safety over at the church. And he was trying to come back to get his wife as she was trying to gather some things, and he was unable to make it back. He says he wept until 1 in the morning, not knowing if his wife was safe or not. He said finally his brother was able to get through and to get to his house, and his wife was sitting out in the storm on the roof of their house alone, wondering if her family made it to safety. God's still working. He showed the pictures. There's mud everywhere, and they've lost everything in their home. But God's working through it because they love the Lord with all their heart, and they believe they are called to his purpose to change the community. I also talked with him about why is he working for the church. He had a really good job. He was making $1,000 a year. And he went to work for the church, and he makes $300 now a year because he believes in what God's doing, even amongst the difficulties. The last thing, the simple thing we need to remember is his place is waiting for me. In John chapter 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. We will have the opportunity to be called up in heaven, to be with God, if we remain faithful. Or over in Isaiah, this is one of my most favorite scriptures. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to interact with him, to take the time out of our busy schedule to kneel down and pray, to study in his word, to accept him as our Lord. God's waiting for us. Ryan?
How are you? I just had to send a note to tell you how much I care about you. I don't want you to feel guilty. That's not my style. I think you know that. But I've been waiting. I followed you everywhere today. I saw you talking with your friends. I hoped that you'd want to talk with me, too. I waited. I have so many gifts for you. That fiery rise of the sun over the low hills this morning. My idea. That cool resting breeze. Mine too. Remember, I created the sun, the moon, the seas, the stars, and you. I just wanted to reach out and give you a lift and say, I give you this day. I've overcome it. Life is good. I waited, but you didn't notice me. At lunch, the way your food danced on your tongue and satisfied your hunger. I made it that way. I can satisfy your spirit. But you get so busy, so distracted, so disconnected. You worry so much. That's not the life I designed for you. The spirit I custom fit for you when you became mine and we wrote your name in the book and sang from the sheer joy of it. That's how I wish you'd react to my name. To my face. I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to see the life that I built for you? You're my exquisite creation. We've got a lot to do. You've got some wonderful things to see. Lives to dance through. Souls to enrich. Worlds to change. Are you ready? I am. Listen to the voice of my spirit, the beckoning. The longing. The life I want for you is so very different from the world you see now. Let's get started. Child, I love you with a love you'll never understand. Notice me. Speak to me. Please don't forget about me. I love you, but I won't bother you anymore. It's your decision. I have chosen you, and I will wait.
My mind runs rapidly through the different stories. Even in my own life, of the mountaintops experiences than the valleys that have been challenging. I know some of your all stories. Some of you have been in the valley for some time. God's waiting for you. Some of you are not even connected with God at all. And you're running through this world all by yourself and terrified by what is surrounding you. God's waiting for you too. He has chosen you to be his child. He leaves the decision to you to accept it. If you want to be God's child, you have to say, I'm willing. I want to be your child, Lord. I want to submit to your word. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want to be buried in Christian baptism, Lord. I want you to be there with me through these valleys and peaks. We also often wait till we're in the valley before we cry out to God. We don't need to wait. We need to make a decision today that we will be in the presence of God. We'll allow His Spirit to work through us, and that He is always there. He's going to give us that little whisper of comfort to get us through.